Zvitonga kuzere mangwana tichitarisa nyaya dzehupfumi. Musakanganwa kuteerera.
Thank you, Blessing and Jonga and Marvelous Mhlanganya. We are without promo. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, April 14th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Studio 7 is going out to Zimbabwe on 909 medium wave and on 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com. Text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Divisions widen in ZANU-PF as the succession fight hots up in the ruling party.
It's also because the process was not done democratically, which is typical of ZANU. ZANU-PF has failed to run a national democratic process simply because its internal processes are opaque.
Gwanda municipality workers down tools demanding immediate payment of their outstanding salaries for the past 3 months.
They promised to pay us our salary starting from April, but saying that they will start paying the full amount of April, that will be April salary. So the workers refused because their plight was that organization should pay them their 3 months' salary.
And the newly established Information and Media Panel of Inquiry starts its work with outreach meetings in Mashonaland East and Manicaland provinces.
The ZANU-PF Elections Directorate is expected to descend on the Midlands province following an outbreak of public infighting at the weekend, which exposed how deeply the ruling party is divided as the succession fight holds up. Midlands and Mashingo provinces have not had a substantive provincial executive since late last year, as factional fights between those backing Vice President Joyce Mujuru and Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa intensified. The country's leading daily news papers quote Mrs. Mujuru and ZANU-PF Secretary for Administration Didmus Mtasa on Saturday as taking turns to lampoon their perceived rival Emmerson Mnangagwa and his backers, accusing the alleged ambitious group of attempting to topple President Robert Mugabe. While Mrs. Mujuru accused their rivals of trying to circumvent the party's constitution by bidding for presidency from their lower party positions, it was Mtasa, Mujuru ally, who went a bit further, telling party rivals the current ZANU-PF top leadership was ordained to lead for life.
Mujuru was guest speaker at the ZANU-PF Manicaland Women's Inter-District Congress held at Mutare's Marymount College. In apparent reference to Mnangagwa's faction, Mutasa described those angling to snatch at the presidency during the next ZANU-PF Congress as rebels and fools. Attempts to reach Mrs. Mujuru and Mnangagwa were, however, futile. The two have previously rejected the notion that they lead factions in the party. President Robert Mugabe a few weeks ago singled them out and said it was not given that they will succeed him should he decide to step down. ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the party electorate will be in the Midlands to try and address the friction in the province.
In the Midlands, when the last Politburo met, it was decided that there were five people who needed to be incorporated in the province, and that was done last weekend. But also, there was the issue of those people who are supposed to be in the basket, who should be in the provincial leadership, who have not been given post. And what is now happening is that the Comrade Shamu, the national commissar, as well as the chairman of the province, they've been asked to make sure that those people who were in the basket but are not in the executive should be looked into. There will be an election, a provincial election directory, to try and look into those things. They decide who is in and who is not in. But overall, I think we are moving in the right direction. I think the leadership, when it met last week on Sunday, decided that this is the kind of course that we should take in order to bring the people of the Midlands together.
When is the election directorate going to meet to discuss these developments?
We really don't know. It's up to the chairman of the province to convene an election directorate. But I think the executive must have met to decide on when the election directorate will be convened.
ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
A political analyst Pedzisai Ruhanya tells Blessing Zulu that the succession dispute will continue to haunt ZANU-PF for as long as the aging Mr. Mugabe does not step down.
It's also because the process was not done democratically, which is typical of ZANU. ZANU-PF has failed to run a national democratic process simply because its internal processes are opaque. Its internal processes are marked by secrecy. Its internal processes are marked by gerrymandering. Its internal processes are not an open democratic process. So there was rigging, there was failure to recognize the secrecy of the ballot and that certain individuals and groups within ZANU did not manage to vote because of the manner in which the electoral process was manipulated, mainly by the Mujuru group. I think they manipulated the process in Mashingo and in the Midlands. That's why you see that, for instance, in the Midlands, you only have the provincial chairman being aligned to Mujuru, but the structures of ZANU in the Midlands province are not in line with that leadership. And if you know the politics of ZANU, there's no way Mnangagwa is going to be beaten in the Midlands province by Mujuru. I think in terms of understanding ZANU-PF politics, Mnangagwa is far ahead by his authoritarian and undemocratic practices if you compare him to Joyce Mujuru.
Political analyst Pedzisai Ruhanya speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Police have summoned former MDC 99 leader Jobs Banda, I beg your pardon, following his statement at the weekend that Zimbabweans should brace themselves for war against President Mugabe's ZANU-PF. The former St. Mary's legislator, who rejoined the MDCT last month, told a rally in Harare yesterday that Zimbabwe's current economic conditions would slide further, resulting in people losing their lives due to hunger. Sikala told Studio 7 he has been in touch with the police.
Yeah, they phoned me today in the morning around 11 a.m. They requested me to report to Harare Central Police Station to the law and order. They said that there are issues that they want to inquire and interrogate me on. On further inquiry, after I sent one of my lawyer friends to inquire from them what exactly they want, they said that they want to question me or over the statements with the alleged that I was saying on various that I was addressing in the country together with President Tsvangirai and others. So specifically, at the moment, unfortunately, I'm not in Harare. I am in Mashingo. I've agreed with the lawyer that I'm going to surrender myself tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Is there anything specific that they said they are looking into?
They said that I'm moving around inciting people to into rebellion against Mugabe's regime and that the country was enjoying peace before my unity with President Tsvangirai. So they said that they want to understand from me what exactly am I talking about and so forth.
Yeah, is it true that you encouraged people to protest against the government?
Now, of course, that is part and parcel of politics in our nation, that the people of Zimbabwe cannot live under the current circumstances up to the year 2018 when we are anticipating the next general elections. And it is also both in the public, local and international domain that the recent elections were thoroughly rigged in this country.
Job Sikala is a member of the MDCT. He spoke with Studio 7 from Maswingo. Police declined to comment on the matter.
Gwanda municipality workers downed tools today, demanding immediate payment of their outstanding salaries for the past 3 months. Gwanda Mayor Knowledge Ndlovu confirmed today's developments but declined to comment further, saying the local authority is still discussing the issue. Sipho Ndlovu, chairman of the Zimbabwe Urban Councils Association Workers Union Gwanda branch, tells VOA reporter Sandekile Mhlanga negotiations with the local authority today were not successful.
There were 135 workers who were outside singing songs, you know, these songs we used to sing, we Africans, when we want our money, you know, giving us another chance in the executive committee to go and negotiate for our salaries.
And what was the response?
We had a meeting with the management and the policymakers and the executive of the workers. They promised to pay us our salaries starting from April. But saying that they will start paying the full amount of April, that will be April salary. And then they will revisit it back on May, the salaries that they still owe us. So the workers refused because their plight was that the organization should pay them their 3 months' salaries.
What did you conclude? Are you likely to return to work tomorrow?
There is no possibility of us returning to work tomorrow. We are saying our doors as a union, because we belong to a strong union, that is ZUCU, Zimbabwe Urban Councils Workers Union. So we are saying our stance is that we are not going to go back to work until or unless our demands are met.
What's the next step now? Are you going to meet the management again tomorrow?
Yes, we agree with the management that you are going to meet again, because after we dismissed from the meeting, they remained inside the boardroom discussing, trying to find the way forward. So now we are saying tomorrow we are going to meet them and see if they have got anything that can stop the strike.
That was Sipho Ndlovu, chairman of the Zimbabwe Urban Councils Association Workers Union Gwanda branch, on the line from Gwanda.
The newly established Information and Media Panel of Inquiry, or IMPI, started its work today with outreach meetings in Mashonaland East and Manicaland provinces, where ordinary people and practitioners gave their views on the state of the country's media. The panel, led by veteran journalist Geoff Nyarota, is expected to gather information on issues affecting the media. This includes funding, access, ownership, and media law reforms, among others. Nyarota told Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kandemiri today his panel was in Marondera and Rusape for its outreach meetings. Tomorrow the panel is in Mutare, said Nyarota, adding the outreach ends June 12. Mr. Zimbabwe Advocacy Officer Tavani Moyo says the media watchdog group is cautiously welcoming the panel.
Though we have caution in terms of the outcomes of the panel, what we encourage is that they must exercise due diligence and they must exercise the highest levels of impartiality and operate as an independent body that is there to find some solutions to the problems that are affecting the media industry. Because of the nature of each establishment, there's the highest temptation to lean towards the requirements of the Minister of Information. But as Mr. Zimbabwe encouraged the new committee that it must lean towards the highest standards of independence so that the outcome of its inquiry are welcome.
And what do you recommend they include in their program?
Definitely there is a high level of consensus amongst the people of Zimbabwe that the current media law and regulatory regime is restrictive and undemocratic to a large extent, and that by and large it violates the dictates of the new constitution. And the people who are in the provincial centers, some of them might come from different sectors. They might not be able to articulate specifically the areas which they feel is an infringement on their right to enjoy Section 61 and Section 62 of the constitution. But the onus is upon the panel members to understand the motivation behind the submission.
That was Mr. Zimbabwe Advocacy Officer Tavani Moyo in Harare.
A Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe Secretary General Raymond Majongwe says he finally got his new passport today after meeting with Registrar General Tobaiwa Mudede. Majongwe was last week told his name was on some watch list as he was denied permission to renew his passport. But today he told Studio 7 Mr. Mudede facilitated the processing of the new document.
I went to the passport office on Saturday as it had been instructed to me through the letter that it comes from the registrar's office from one, Mr. Mpala, who I understand is the deputy registrar. When we went there on Saturday, we were not able to see him or meet the registrar. And then this morning, I'm told the registrar's office called my lawyers, Mr. Rogers Matikize, who told me to come there. And when I got there, I then went through a 30, 40, 50-minute discussion with the registrar general, and we spoke at length about many other things, about soccer, about boxing, and then he told me that I ordinarily should have just come to his office and they would have assisted me to get my passport without hassle.
Did he explain to you the reasons why you were denied that service last week?
Yeah, he did. And I think the issues range from the reason of explaining why I'm on what is called the stop list SL, which was put on my form, as well as a few security concerns. But the most important thing would basically be that some of the information that he then told me and spoke to me about, I think he impressed upon me that it was information given in confidence and I would want to keep it such. But the most important thing is that I got a passport and I need to make a statement to the effect that I'm not happy with the way this matter was handled because I just thought I'm an ordinary Zimbabwean and I'm just supposed to be treated as such. Not that I then must go and sit in the registrar's office and get a few lectures and a few things. But I think the most important thing is that I got my passport.
And that was a Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe Secretary General Raymond Majongwe in Harare.
Zimbabwe celebrates its 34th Independence Anniversary Friday, April 18. Studio 7 invites you to share your thoughts on the day on Facebook or WhatsApp. Send us your audio WhatsApp and we'll play it on the show. Or send us your number and we'll call you to record your message. That number 001-202-577-5835. Again, 001-202-577-5835. You can also send an email to studio7 at voanews.com. Listen out for your message in your voice on Studio 7.
Zimbabwe this week marks 34 years of independence from colonial rule amid concerns from many citizens that President Robert Mugabe is using the suppression of the people's will to extend his rule. In this look back feature, Thomas Chiripasi takes an insight into how the president has fared since he took over power from Ian Smith.
When President Mugabe assumed the office in 1980, many Zimbabweans believed the country would literally overflow with milk and honey, as promised by the Zandla and Zipra guerrilla fighters during the struggle for independence. 34 years down the line, many Zimbabweans such as God Knows Shumba say that life is becoming more and more difficult under Mr. Mugabe's stewardship. Shumba says the electorate has long decided to vote Mr. Mugabe out of power, but claims the nonagenarian leader has been using an iron fist to suppress the will of the majority during elections.
We know already that the ZANU-PF government is putting in place a lot of machinery. As Zimbabweans, we cannot rise against the government because we are afraid of the Zimbabwean government. We cannot go out on the streets and demand to unseat the ZANU-PF government. We cannot do that.
Democratic Party President Uriah Izembe says Mr. Mugabe's biggest undoing of his legacy was the militarization of elections. He adds President Mugabe has survived this long because of diversionary politics. The Zimbabwean leader has since early 2000 accused the opposition and non-governmental organizations of being agents of what he calls illegal regime change.
The Western world has funded the opposition, and he got more. In fact, he was also funded by Asians and also by the Libyans, and also who has not been funded there. Nobody has not been funded. Mugabe has actually received much more funding from foreign countries than any one of us in this country. It's totally cheap propaganda. The facts are there.
MDCT National Organizing Secretary Nelson Chamisa says the big man mentality has led Mr. Mugabe to abandon democratic processes, resulting in dictatorial tendencies.
Mr. Mugabe has been able to succeed himself because there's not been any willing successor or any successor with the capacity to tackle issues of leadership head on. It's a crisis of the big man syndrome.
Zembe said Mr. Mugabe would have long left office if the two MDC formations had not accepted to form a unity government with President Mugabe and his ZANU-PF party. But the MDC formations argue that they entered into the power-sharing arrangement to save ordinary Zimbabweans who they say were reeling under abject poverty caused by poor governance of the country by the Mugabe administration.
Mugabe, as he stands, has lost democratic power. And I totally disagree that he's still there. He's there as a dictator. And we, in the opposition, together, we believe in democratic power, the constitutional rule of law.
Former student leader Blessing Vava says it is not surprising that Mr. Mugabe is still in power because the Revolutionary Party has a one-party state mentality.
You look at the question of ZANU-PF, for example, it has no clear provisions on term limits for the president. But I think President Mugabe, he has managed to use patronage to his advantage so that he keeps on in power. The debates around succession in ZANU-PF, they are not about whether Maim Juru wants to succeed Mugabe now, but they're actually saying that the issues of succession can only be discussed when the president has vacated office, when the president has died. And that is quite unfortunate in our political systems.
Meanwhile, Zembe said the opposition has been failing to take over power from Mr. Mugabe because it remains fragmented. Opposition parties like the Zimbabwe Union of Democrats, Forum Party, Zimbabwe Unity Movement, and the MDC, and several others, were formed after independence, but they have all failed to remove ZANU-PF from power.
Power comes from the people. We're talking about democracy. Look, if we were to draw a parallel with what has happened in the Ivory Coast, when Ouattara won an election, Gbagbo refused. And Ouattara simply went to the people, and the people finished Gbagbo. Today, Gbagbo is awaiting trial with the International Criminal Court. That is what Tsvangirai should have done, because it was not his work. It was the work of the people. In politics, when you represent the people, you should respect the people's verdict and defend it to the hilt.
But political analyst and director of the Media Center, Ernest Mudzengi, says the major problem in ZANU-PF is that President Mugabe has failed to groom a successor, resulting in factionalism within the Revolutionary Party.
Unlike the ANC, ZANU-PF has no vibrant culture of succession. And ZANU-PF, since President Mugabe took over the reins of the party way back during the liberation struggle, has been the glue that seems to be sticking the party together.
He adds that the opposition's biggest undoing, on the other hand, has been greed on the part of the leadership. The opposition has failed to form a loose coalition for the purposes of an election. Results of the 2008 national elections show that combined opposition votes were much higher than those garnered by Mr. Mugabe, but they failed to get an outright win, resulting in negotiations that led to the formation of the unity government that was characterized by policy discord.
The problem in Zimbabwe is that no one wants to be led. Everyone wants to be president. And in that scenario, it is very difficult for the opposition to forge an effective front that can dislodge ZANU-PF from power. So what we have seen in the past are cases where people try to forge such a front, but it dies down when the other one says, no, I must be the one at the top.
Efforts to get a comment from ZANU-PF spokesperson Rugare Gumbo failed, but social commentator and former MDC legislator Gabriel Chaiva, who crossed the floor to join ZANU-PF, agrees that life is becoming more and more difficult for ordinary people following the disputed elections of 2013. Chaiva, however, told Studio 7 by phone from Harare that the economic situation should not deter Zimbabweans from celebrating the gains of the liberation struggle that was led by the likes of Josiah Tongogara, Ndabaning Stole, Mr. Mugabe, Herbert Chitepo, and Joshua Nkomo, to name just but a few. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
And as promised, here are some of the thoughts that you, Studio 7 listeners, sent to us about independence Zimbabwe 34 years down the line. We start with Calvis Mugove.
Independence in Zimbabwe? No, man. There is no independence in Zimbabwe. I don't think so. You know, actually, I'm not independent. So how can I say there is independence in Zimbabwe? I'm Calvis Mugove Fundera. I'm here in Leidenberg, South Africa.
The independence of Zimbabwe does not mean a lot of things to the people who are there, because it's only for those ones who are in power. They are the only ones who are getting everything. And to ordinary people, it's just a day like all other normal days. You do not celebrate when you do not have anything. But for the people who are in Zimbabwe, a lot of people are struggling to get even education, to get to the clinic. But with 8 years staying, we're in the independence. It does not show anything. So then what's the need to celebrate? Let them do whatever they want until God says, no, it's over.
Thank you. That was listener Watson. Please keep them rolling in those WhatsApp messages. And you can also send us messages on Facebook, WhatsApp, and emails.
Like our coverage of the state of politics in Zimbabwe since independence? Listen out for Studio 7's special coverage tomorrow on the state of the economy. Be sure to tune in.
And once the home of Zimbabwean football, Rufaro Stadium has become a danger to the same players who are supposed to showcase their skills on it. Michael Kariati tells us why, as he also gives us a roundup of the weekend's soccer games.
It has been a very good sporting weekend, starting from golf to triathlon via football. We start off with the roundup of weekend's soccer games, starting with champion Dynamos, who rolled off their home campaign with a shock 1-0 defeat at the hands of New Boys ZPC Kariba at the National Sports Stadium yesterday. This made Dynamos the third biggest team to lose in the second game of the Kasolaga Premier Soccer League family in the 2014 program. Others to fall by the wayside included last year third place team Harare City, who lost out 2-1 to Capes United. FC Platinum were also beaten by current Premier Soccer League leaders Wange 3-2, while last year's runners-up Highlanders were 4-1 winners over Boogie side Shabani Mine. The Zimbabwe women's soccer team, the Mighty Warriors, went to South Africa and rode the Banyana to a 2-0 draw ahead of the Mighty Warriors' final qualifying match for the 2014 Africa Women's Championships. That aside, the talk of the Zimbabwean football public remains the state of Rufaro Stadium. Each and every week, there are reports of serious injuries sustained to players as the AstroTurf has become a danger to the footballers due to lack of proper maintenance. The pitch should have been gone through maintenance after every 3 years, where the turf was supposed to have been removed, thoroughly cleaned, and relayed, but that was not done, making the field hard, uncomfortable, slippery, and a danger to players. Dynamo's midfielder Masimba Mbare has been ruled out of football for 6 weeks after he slipped and landed awkwardly, sustaining serious injuries during the Independence Trophy semi-final match against Harare City
Thank you, Michael. Unfortunately, time is not on our side, but please remember to stay tuned for Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when we will discuss